Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for February 23rd, 2010. I'm Annalisa Van Hook. Today I'm speaking with Chuan-Yuan Li about new work from his lab on the role of cell death in wound healing. Dr. Li spoke to me from his office at the University of Colorado School of Medicine in Denver. Hi, Dr. Li.
Hi, Annalisa.
The paper that your group has just published in Science Signaling is about apoptosis or cell death in wound healing. What happens during the wound healing process? How do wounds heal? What sort of events take place?
There are basically three phases of wound healing. In the first phase, it's called inflammatory phase. In this phase, what happens is blood vessels constrict and platelets aggregate at the wound site and a clot is formed, basically to stop bleeding. And after that, inflammatory cells such as macrophages and leukocytes come to the wound site. Their job is to clean up the debris, basically the dead cells, and also to destroy the bacteria. So this is the inflammatory phase. Basically, it occurs for the first couple of days. After that, the wound goes through a proliferative phase. In this phase, there are a lot of cell proliferation, mainly from the fibroblasts around the wound site, and their job is to form the so-called granulation tissue. These are rudimentary tissues. Their job is to fill the defect in the wound or the gap in the wound. And once they fill the gap, there's this process called contraction. So basically, the edges of the wound try to pull together to reduce the defect, after which a thin layer, which is called the epithelia, the top of the skin, try to grow back from the two sides of the wound, try to connect with each other. And after that, it's a third phase, which is called remodeling phase, which occurs usually after several weeks after the initial wound. And in this phase, the granulation tissue, through a slow transformation, try to reconstruct the original tissue. So it's a slow process through which the blood vessels, the collagens especially, the fibers, try to increase their tensile strength to rebuild the tissue structure to the original construct. So after that, it's basically you have complete healing, which this can be a slow process that takes from a couple of months to even in some cases a couple of years.
Is granulation tissue roughly the equivalent of a blastema in a regenerating limb? Basically a mass of undifferentiated tissue from which cells will differentiate to give rise to, you know, some muscle, some epithelial cells, some mesenchyme, whatever's missing?
Yes, it's a collection of different cells, mainly fibroblasts, which can differentiate to myoblasts, and a lot of blood vessels. So it's a very rudimentary tissue. There are a lot of differentiation going on afterwards to rebuild the original tissue.
After wounding, obviously it's important that cell proliferation is stimulated to rebuild the tissue that's damaged, to rebuild missing structures. But it's also important to remove that damaged tissue before you rebuild. How are the damaged cells removed from the wound site, or how is the wound site cleaned up before rebuilding can happen?
The main worker cell, in this case, if you will, is the macrophage cells. They come in right after blood clotting. They come in to go through a process called phagocytosis, where they basically eat the debris of the dead cells and also the bacteria. So they take in the bacteria and then kill them. So they are the main scavengers cells that cleans the wound site of debris.
So the macrophages are coming in and they're devouring or cleaning up not only the corpses of dead cells and bacteria, but at the same time, there are also cells that are undergoing apoptosis, cells that in response to the wounding are committing suicide because they're damaged.
Yes.
How did you address the role of apoptosis in wound healing?
We decided to study the molecular mechanism. How does this all occur? Because in the past, people generally think in this inflammatory phase, the macrophage and other cell types, during the process of responding, they secrete a lot of growth factors. They are the original source of this proliferative signals. However, a couple of studies done 5 or 6 years ago indicate they may not be the only source. There are other sources because in some cases, in transgenic mouse models, which are defective in macrophage generation, can still heal their wounds. So that indicates to us there are some additional sources of proliferative signals.
So you investigated whether these apoptotic cells at the wound site were providing any of those signals?
Yes. Actually, in some lower organisms, people have suggested that the dying cells, the wounded cells themselves, may provide the signals. So we decided to evaluate if this is true in mice, which is more similar to us.
Are those apoptotic cells contributing to the proliferation that's taking place at the wound site?
Yes, that's indeed the case. We have actually several lines of evidence. So in the first experiment, what we did, we mixed dying cells with live cells, and we monitored the growth of the live cells. We found indeed that the cells that are placed together with the dying cells grow much faster than the cells that are left alone.
That was mixing cells in a cell culture situation. Did the same thing happen in vivo?
Yes. So in vivo, we did several experiments. In one experiment, we irradiate mouse tissues to simulate a radiation-generated wound. And we then injected live skin cells, called keratinocytes, into the wound site. And as a control, we also injected cells into non-irradiated healthy tissue. And when we compare the growth, we found those injected into the wounded tissue, into the irradiated tissues, grow significantly faster. They can persist long in the wounded tissue, but in the healthy tissue, they gradually disappear.
Both in cell culture and in vivo, then, dying cells are able to stimulate the proliferation of normal cells.
Yes.
Did you determine what these cells are doing that stimulates other cells to proliferate?
Yes. One of the key experiments we did is to identify the exact mechanisms through which these dying cells are doing is to use transgenic mice where the cells are defective in this cell death process called apoptosis. So in these mice, they are defective in an enzyme called caspase-3, which is a key factor in cells committing suicide. So we got these mice that are defective in caspase-3, and we did a similar experiment where we wounded the tissue and injected some skin cells into the wounded tissue. We found that the proliferation that was observed in the healthy mice was not observed, indicating to us that caspase-3 plays a key role. So the finding of caspase-3 is actually quite surprising because caspase-3 is, as we mentioned earlier, is the executioner of cell death. So usually scientists think that it is a killer. So here we found that it is important for this proliferation phase of wound healing.
Even if cells can undergo apoptosis in a caspase-3 independent mechanism, so let's say a cell can still respond to damage by dying, and it can do so through an apoptotic process that doesn't rely on caspase-3, that without having caspase-3, then that cell, though, can't induce proliferation. So a cell may be able to die without caspase-3, but it can't induce proliferation of nearby tissues without caspase-3.
That's correct. We found out the cells without caspase-3, they still die, but probably through other mechanisms. But if they are defective in caspase-3, they cannot induce proliferation as effectively as wild-type cells.
So then how are these cells inducing the proliferation?
What we found, we believe it's probably only one of the mechanisms involved in this process, is that caspase-3, the activated caspase-3 in particular, can activate an enzyme called calcium-independent phospholipase 2. This enzyme, its job is to catalyze the generation of a lipid molecule called arachidonic acid. Arachidonic acid serves as a precursor to a molecule called prostaglandin E2. Now, prostaglandin E2 is a very important molecule. It's also a lipid molecule. It has been discovered many years ago, and functionally, it has been shown to be important in fever, for example, during infection, or in pain. And it's also been found to be important in wound healing. So, therefore, we found that caspase 3 during wound healing actually is a key factor to stimulate the generation of PGE2. And that's an important molecule for wound healing.
Is prostaglandin E2 then the molecule that induces cells to proliferate at a wound site?
We found at least it plays a key role. It's probably not the only factor, but it's a key factor.
Is the presence of apoptotic cells required to induce proliferation in all tissue types, or is this phenomenon specific to one particular type of tissue or to a particular species?
That's a good question. So in our study, we have studied two tissues. One is the skin. The other is liver. So we found if you have mice that are defective in caspase 3 or in apoptosis, you have defect in skin wound healing or liver regeneration. So in those two tissues, we're sure it's important. So we have not done other tissues. As to your question about whether it's a conserved mechanism in different species, I believe our study is the first in mammalian systems, in mammalian organisms such as mice. But in lower organisms, such as frog or planarian, which is a worm that lives in water with amazing regenerative capability, and in hydra, another water animal, in all those organisms, I think also include Drosophila, which is fruit fly, the investigators have found that apoptotic cells can stimulate proliferation.
Thank you, Dr. Lee, for taking the time to speak with me.
Well, thank you very much, Annalisa.
That was Chuan-Yuan Lee, corresponding author on a research article published in the February 23rd issue of Science Signaling. That article is titled, Apoptotic Cells Activate the Phoenix Rising Pathway to Promote Wound Healing and Tissue Regeneration. That wraps up this Science Signaling podcast. If you have any questions or suggestions, please write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. This show is a production of Science Signaling and of AAAS, Advancing Science, Serving Society. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and its publisher, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, thanks for listening.